In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we celebrate the one who is greatest born of woman, according to the Lord, the greatest mortal born of woman, St. John the Baptizer, his beheading. It is a fast day, and it's not a fast day because of sorrow. It's a fast day to honor him, to commemorate him, his great struggle, his great courage, his great morality. And I also think that fasting is extremely apropos on his day because St. John was a very clear voice against immorality. He was not afraid to speak out against it, and in fact, that's what cost him his head, was speaking out against the adultery of Herod. Herod was not angry at him about this. Herod loved him. In one of the Gospels, it says he heard him gladly. Herod evidently would go down to prison and listen to John talk. So Herod was not completely some sort of demon. He was a man who loved John, but he also loved immorality. He, of course, had taken his brother Philip's wife and was in adultery, and St. John denounced him for this. And it was his wife that was angry with St. John and then engineered his beheading. But it was immorality which allowed it to happen. It says in the services today some very, very poignant things that are very important to understand. You have to understand about Herod. He was not a completely evil person who just went around being completely without any redeeming qualities. Certainly he did evil things. He was a very repressive ruler. He was not a good guy. But what he loved John, and yet still he killed him. Now, of course, we know the story, how it happened. He got drunk. He had Herodias dance. He was excited about the dance and with all of his people that were drunk with him and everything, so caught up in the moment in his cups and full of lust and full of enjoyment of the baser things in life, he made a promise that was foolish. And of course, her mother then took advantage of this promise to have John's head delivered on a platter. Herod didn't want to do it. Why did he do it? The services don't really say why. I'll tell you why in a minute. But here is what they say about it. And it's really kind of shocking because I think it describes a lot of people's lives. No, not too many people are going around having people beheaded. Not too many people are doing extremely violent acts. But the lack of courage of Herod is very open here. You should see it clearly, and you should understand why he was not courageous. It's very important to understand that. So it says here that better would it have been not to have sworn thine oath, O iniquitous Herod, grandson of lies, for even thou didst make thy vow, it was not well sworn. Better it would have been to be proved false than to cut off the head of the forerunner who spake the truth. So Herod made a bad oath, and he didn't have the guts to go back on it because of the people in attendance. He didn't want to lose face. I'll tell you why. Because of his immorality. It had weakened his soul. Yeah, there were some good things in him. He loved John. He loved to talk to him. He didn't want to hurt him. He had protected him from his wife for a long time. But he was weak morally. From fornication, from drunkenness, from not caring for the poor, from all the excesses that those who are rich and who basically bought their kingdom would have. And so he was a weak man. And immorality kills everything. It kills the soul. It kills wisdom and judgment. Obviously, Herod made a foolish vow. He was foolish to be drinking with his buddies. He was foolish to bring in Herodias to dance. He was foolish to make the vow. And he was foolish to not go back on the vow when he was sorry that he had made such a vow that it came out that way. Certainly, immorality ruins courage. Immorality destroys compassion. We have to guard ourselves against immorality. We live in an age where immorality is just in the air we breathe. It's in everything we do. Things that are shocking 10 years ago are commonplace today. If a radio station or a television station says something is kid-friendly, that's something that would have made people burn down the station 20, 30 years ago. So we live in an age of absolute just depravity, and we're in the middle of it, and we have to make sure that we keep ourselves clean morally. Fasting is a very important way to do this. So I think it's apropos to be fasting tomorrow to commemorate St. John, that great clarion voice for living morally, for living according to God's law, so that we would have the courage in our own interior life to live morally, to not give ourselves license as the world gives itself license, to cheat, to steal, to think sexual thoughts, to do things that are just normal part of daily life, because those things, they will corrode your soul, and they will make you incapable of other things. You cannot be a courageous person unless you live according to God's law. Now, I'll say one thing, and I always like to add this caveat because I think it's important. Not so much for this group, but if we had 30 or 40 more people, I guarantee you somebody would be thinking, well, I got this problem, and therefore what Father Seraphim is saying is that I'm doomed. That's not true. If you struggle against your sins, God will redeem you and save you. Don't make excuses for any sin. Perhaps it's a sin you repeat often. Do not make excuses for it. Lament, pray, fast, struggle. In my experience, people come to me with a sin very often, and the things that I tell them to do about that sin, they don't do. And therefore, no wonder that the sin stays with them. Fight as hard as you can against any sin. Then you will not be an immoral person, because you will be saying to God by your actions, by your priorities, that you want to follow His law, and He will help you. St. Moses the Ethiopian, whom we commemorated today, or I suppose yesterday now, is one such person who had great moral courage. He was a terrible man before he converted. He killed many people. He raped many women. He stole much. He was a fornicator, a drunkard. But he repented. When he came to Sketis and went to his cell, he struggled against fornication thoughts for many, many years. He was absolutely brutal against these thoughts, so much that the fathers actually told him, you've got to lighten up a little bit. But he said, I won't do it until I'm done with these thoughts. And I think it was Abba Isidore who, when he heard him say that, said, from now on, he, by divine inspiration and by his own power, not his own, God's power working through him, of course, said that you'll no longer be troubled with these thoughts. Sort of like Mary of Egypt spent 17 years with these thoughts and then was delivered from them completely. Moses didn't give himself any quarter about his thoughts of fornication. He'd become a monk, he prayed, he fasted, but he didn't give himself any credit for those things because of his thoughts. No excuses. That's how we have to be. Then God will deliver us. And then we'll have freedom. Then we'll have courage, moral courage, not to be afraid to speak out about what's right, not to be afraid to confront things. I don't mean necessarily confronting people about their sins. I think the greatest courage is when you confront your sins in front of God. And when you pray for people, I find it very difficult to pray for people because I don't feel confident in my prayer. And when I'm before the altar, yes, but not otherwise. And I think it's because of my own moral weakness. The stronger we become morally, the more courage we have. Look at what immorality did to Herod. To whatever degree we are not moral, and we allow maybe little sins, maybe not so little sins, to kind of creep in our lives, to the degree that we do that, we're weak. God didn't make us to be weak. He made us to be strong like St. John the Baptizer. Through his prayers, may we have courage to follow God's commandments.